Well, welcome everybody. This is my, of course, my first broadcast of the year. So happy New Year to everybody. I know Mark was faithfully broadcasting the good news last week. So hope everybody's having a good New Year so far. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing all right. Thank you, Barry. Yeah, doing well.
Yeah.
It's the third webcast in 4 days
for me. Wow. That's amazing.
One for Switzerland on Sunday, one for Poland last night, and here we are back again.
Wow, that's amazing. Can you imagine? I mean, there were days when you would be getting on a plane a lot, but I'm not sure if you'd have covered that much territory in just 3 days and three plane rides.
I might be a little bit more tired than I.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're doing all right. Thanks. We're doing well.
Yeah, it's good to be back as always. And I think because I watched you last week and I was in Toronto at the Catch the Fire School of Ministry. But you mentioned that we're coming into our 13th calendar year. So that's where's the time gone, eh?
I know. And, you know, 13, 12 years ago, we were kind of like the only ones playing with the internet, and now it's all the rage.
Well, yes, it certainly has changed, and of course technology's changed too, right? So it's kind of the good old days. I even remember back in, you know, the early days of, you know, the Father's Love Letter, and just the, you know, uploading a 1.5 meg file was a big deal. So I think we've come a long way in technology.
Yeah, we sure have, yes.
So anything new and exciting in your world?
Can I mention the school again?
Absolutely, you do that. I'll put you on full screen.
Okay, thank you. So, we should have a camera overlay somewhere. There we go. That's it, yes. So I just want to mention again the school, the Father Heart School we've got coming up in the UK the last week of March. We would love to welcome you to join us. We really just believe that if we can take a few days just to not only give the biblical foundation for God being a father and God loving us, but also to walk people through some of the hindrances, some of the blockages to receiving love. We really believe that at the end of the week, you know, we can see many, many people knowing that God is their father, knowing that they're a son or daughter, and beginning this journey of living walking as Jesus walked. So all of the information about the school is on our website, fatherheart.uk/encounter. I'm supported by a wonderful team. I've got Wynette from the Netherlands helping me with the teaching. And I've got Mike and Sue and Norman and Johanna who are on the webcast tonight. They're my team. They, you know, it's just lovely people to work with who all carry this in their hearts. So come and join us. Tell your friends about it. Tell your churches about it. But we'd love to welcome you. Come and join us if you can. That last week in March. So thank you, Barry.
So here we are back again. Yeah, one of these days we'll be able to actually see each other face to face, hopefully, eh?
That would be good, eh?
Yeah. Well, we're still, you know, just hoping. Keep hoping for the best.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm clocking up my air miles so I can get.
Yeah. I've got a pile that but I can't really use them yet. But you know, Canada is kind of we're back into lockdown and so we're not going to too many places these days.
We're just having parties in every garden that will have a party in it at the moment.
Well, you're a lot freer that way. I know of course, you guys have, as I've said to you before, I really think the UK has done an amazing job at organizing everything that you've done. So
We've done a brilliant job organizing vaccines and everything else. We've done a brilliant job at organizing parties, you know, bring your own booze.
Yeah, I read about that too, but I wasn't going to mention that. So, so what are we talking about tonight? Do I know?
Wow. The audience of one.
Do you want to share how we kind of got our wires crossed?
We got our wires crossed on this one because on Sunday I was doing a webcast, a Zoom meeting for a group of people in Switzerland. And at the start time, there was me and my interpreter and one connection on Zoom. There were a few more people a few minutes later when we'd started. A few other people joined us, which was great, wonderful. But when I started the meeting, I had just one connection. You know, there was just a couple with us. And it's very encouraging to have someone coming to listen to us. So I finished the webcast, and then I literally just finished, and I get a text from Barry. And he says, I'm thinking of, we can talk about the audience of one on Wednesday. And I thought, yeah, I've just had an audience of one. And so my mind was going down this one track, thinking, how are we going to talk about this, you know? And Barry's mind had already gone down a completely different path. So I'm going to just pray and hand over to Barry. And I have this agreement with him that I'm going to follow him down his path tonight. Does that kind of sum it up, Barry?
Yes, absolutely. And your prayers are greatly appreciated for me, my brother.
We, just before we came on live, we didn't really have a clue what we were doing, did we, Barry? We kind of thought, oh, yes, you know, and we had to sort of get our act together, if we can ever get our act together, and focus on the job in hand. But so, you know, prayers are very much needed for us this evening. So is that okay, Barry? I'll kick off and then
absolutely
you can take it from there.
Yeah. So,
Father, thank you for your presence with us.
Yeah.
I thank you, Father, that you're a God of fun.
Yeah.
And you like it when your kids have fun together.
Yeah.
And you're a joyful Father.
Yeah.
And we thank you that your joy just fills you and overflows to us. Yeah. And we can just receive something of that joy. And I just ask, Father, tonight that we would receive something of the joy of heaven. Mm. Into our hearts. And as we talk about this, I just ask, Father, that you'd be with Barry and you'd be with me as we talk about it, but you'd open all of our hearts to receive what you want to do in us today. Because you really are a good Father.
Yeah.
And it's in you that we find everything we need. Mm. You are all we need. And so often, Father, we're just aware that we look elsewhere and we're frustrated and we're dissatisfied. But help us just to bring our gaze back on you.
Yeah.
And just to dwell in your presence. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, mate. That's awesome. See you in a bit. Yeah, of course, Mark and I, we have this banter that goes usually every week, and we've mentioned that about, you know, what are we going to do this week? And I had an encounter with God recently, and it was an encounter that really really impacted me. And it was a few weeks ago. It was actually probably over a month ago this happened, but I really felt like that it was something that the Lord was, you know, just wanting me to revisit in my own life, in my own relationship with Him and the audience of one. And just, it's really, I think for me, it's just recentering, what this Christian life is all about, right? And I think, you know, when I share tonight, it's not something that's necessarily all like kind of perfectly figured out, but I feel like it, I just feel the Father would just really want to, at least, in, you know, I'm preaching to myself maybe, but maybe encourage you to that, you know, if you have been in a place where maybe you, there's been distractions or things horizontally that have caused your focus to shift away from, yeah, just the simplicity of living in love, the simplicity of having a Father in heaven who is for us and who believes in us, and just to kind of keep, you know, as Mark and I often say, you know, keep the main thing the main thing. And basically, for those who know me and know my story, and I know so many of our friends, you guys have been with us through thick and thin in the last 12 years, but you know that my background was somebody who learned at a very early age that the way that I received love is through performance. You know, my dad struggled with alcoholism, and he, you know, he struggled with anger, and the way that I got his attention was through performance. And so, you know, as early as I can remember, my value system of how love worked was that, you know, you have to keep performing in order to be loved, because that's when my father noticed me. And of course, when you fail, often what comes with that is shame, right? That I let my dad down. He's disappointed in me. Maybe he's angry at me. And so that really, really impacted my kind of my worldview of how love works. And, you know, my mother is still alive, and she's with us, and, you know, she lives with us, and she's our greatest cheerleader and intercessor. But, you know, over, like, she came from a long line of people pleasers, right? So her mother was a people pleaser. I know my mom has dealt with that whole idea of people pleasing. And of course she, yeah, I don't know if intentionally, but, you know, she raised two sons, my brother and I, that have struggled with people pleasing. And again, this comes from a place of finding value in making other people happy. So, you know, it's basically trying to discern what people want from you, what they expect from you, and then trying to deliver the goods so that they would think of you in a way that, you know, would be affirming and reinforcing some positive things. And of course, you know, we live in a world system as well that is preoccupied with performance. You know, whether it's school, we go to school at 5 years of age, and, you know, before long, maybe the first year in kindergarten, it's more playtime and drawing and everything else. But as you get older, the tests get harder, the workload gets more intense. Before long, you know, the pressure is to get straight A's, to get good report cards, to do well on exams. You know, if you fail or if you're at the bottom of the class, then, you know, you can feel somehow less valuable because of that. So it's all of those things that I think, you know, for a variety of reasons that, you know, it can shape, you know, how we see life, how do we live our life, you know, and how does life work? And when I came into this revelation of the Father's love back in 1998, it absolutely rocked my world, turned me inside out. It, you know, when I felt the Father loved me, and his words to me were that he didn't love me because I did anything to deserve it, but he loved me because I breathed. And, you know, those words absolutely began to set my heart at rest, you know, that I could actually believe that I'm lovable, that my value to God wasn't based on what I did, but it was based on who he was and how much he loved us and or loved me. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, that revelation changed my life. But at the same time, you know, I came into this revelation in like June 98. And by December 98, I wrote this sermon illustration called Father's Love Letter. And we played it at our home church for the first time in January 1999. It was like we had a tiger by the tail. I had no idea what was going to happen. And, you know, we put it on the internet, and then all of a sudden it went, you know, around the world, and it was viral, and people were sharing it, and we were having thousands of people a day coming to our website. And then all of a sudden, you know, people were asking for it to be translated in other languages. And, you know, to date, we have it in over 120 languages on our website. And And in that time, the doors began to open up as well for me, not only to share the Father's love letter in that way, but to travel and be able to, you know, do itinerant ministry and go to different countries, teach schools and all of these things. And I think, you know, one of the struggles that I've always had is to, you know, I share about it when we talk about, you know, some of the topics we've talked about is this, where in Jude it says, keep yourself in the love of God. And in even John 15, Jesus is saying to his disciples, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you, remain in my love. And so I think the tension for me, very, very practically over, you know, these years of walking in this revelation of the Father heart of God is dealing with the pressure, that the tension of kind of the horizontal things all around, whether that's, you know, how many people visit our website, how many people are subscribed to our daily devotionals, you know, how many likes do you get on a social media post, all those things. There's this pressure, it feels, it's not God. God's not putting these expectations because he loves me because I breathe, right? But I feel over the years that I've felt this pressure to kind of fall back into measuring and kind of looking at the response, the horizontal response, and even in speaking, right? You know, when you go to places, you know, how many people show up in the meetings and what are the responses in the meetings? And I think, you know, all those things have over the years, I have wrestled with those things, and God has, you know, it seems like he keeps on redigging that same well, you know. And I don't know if you've had that experience in your life where you get a revelation and you go, wow, that changes your life. I've got this. And then, you know, God revisits that revelation over and over again. And it's like he comes and he redigs the wells and he goes deeper into that area. You know, for me, you know, I started sharing about identity when I was, I think, 2003. I'm still sharing about identity in ways that God is still, you know, in his love, just continuing to go deeper into my heart, to just to try to free me from any other unhealthy identity other than being his son. And I think, you know, this message that we're talking about, or this topic today, the audience of one, it is really, to me, refocusing on the audience of one being God himself. And I think one of the struggles that I have had over the years even is that, you know, we've had this kind of phenomenon that was bigger than us with the Father's love letter. And, you know, it's had quite a lot of success, millions of views, you know, broadcast on TV, radio, all over the world, and, you know, shared door to door in entire nations. And it still is clipping along. I'm still surprised all these years later, 23 years later, that, you know, people are still visiting our site and sharing it. And we're hearing stories of how it's still changing lives. But I think what has happened over the years is that anything else that I've done, you know, web stuff and websites and everything else, I always have this tension of how does this compare to what happened with the Father's love letter? And so if I'm not careful, it kind of could bring me to a place of getting caught up in comparing things and the value of things and measuring things. And while this is, you know, this pales in comparison to, you know, what happened with the Father's love letter. And so one of the things that I've, and again, I mentioned I had an encounter recently, was one of my projects that I started actually quite a few years ago is fatherlovestheworld.com. And that started from 9/11 in New York City back in 2001. A chaplain who was a rescue worker working with all of the rescue workers in Ground Zero asked if we would give some Father's Love Letter resources for free to the rescue workers because of the devastation that they were experiencing. And so we ended up, you know, bringing a truckload full of Father's Love Letters to New York City. And kind of, that was kind of the birth of it. We created a website, fatherlovesnewyork.com. Fox.com, and that was the distribution network in which we were able to distribute thousands of Father's Love Letter resources to the rescue workers and to churches in that area. And that, so that birthed this vision, Father Loves the World and Father Loves Nations. And then I began to go to nations, and when I would put my feet, would land on a nation, I would declare the Father's love for that nation. And it just kind of brought this vision to see the Father's love letter delivered to every person on the planet, to see the Father's love declared over every nation in the world. And one of the things that I've done over the years was I created fatherlovestheworld.com, and one of my web initiatives was to declare the Father's love to every nation, one nation at a time. And so, this is just a kind of the most recent graphic that we've had. But so, and this is something that I started, quite a few years ago. And then every day that I would, just declare the Father's love over a nation. So these are the A's, this is kind of a new graphics that we've just recently done. But so, this is something where I had this vision that I dreamed that people would, join with me and declare the Father's love over, a different nation every day. And, and it's rooted and grounded in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And so, I did that with this great expectation. And the thing that happened is that the response was very, very minimal. I would be posting on social media with this, and we'd get a few likes a day. It was a minimal visits to the website, and this went on for a few years. And I got to a point where I was kind of discouraged. I thought, with only especially compared to the success of the Father's Love Letter, I thought, well, maybe that, this is just isn't resonating with people, and maybe I should stop posting. So I stopped posting, I think about a year ago, the daily declarations of the Father's love. And then our website was coming up for renewal actually this week. And so this is what happened about a month or ago or thereabouts. And I was thinking, well, maybe I should just not renew the website. And, we gave it a good go. We started this in 2001, excuse me. And maybe it's just time to put the website to rest. And then I started to say, so Father, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about bringing form to declare your love for a nation every day, in so that in 250 days we have declared your love for every nation on the planet, every person on the planet. And excuse me, this is the where I had an encounter with him when I asked him how he felt about that. And it was like, the only way I can describe what happened was that it was like a flash of joy. It was like, and I had never experienced this ever before, it was like there was such delight in his heart for me and for that this little boy would just want to declare his, my Father's love for every nation around the world every day, just continuing to declare it. And it was like a joy that it was like, I was saying to Mark before we went on the webcast, it was like a joy that was so intense. It was like I wouldn't be able to stand living in that intense joy. Like I couldn't be able to function, I don't think. And it was just this beautiful delight. And it wasn't just a delight in something I was doing. It was a delight in me. And it was like in that moment, it was like, oh, Papa, this makes you happy. This touches your heart. This brings form to your heart for every person on the planet, nation by nation, declaring your amazing love. And so I decided to, after that, I thought, oh, Papa, I am going to restart these declarations of the Father's love every day. Father, and so alphabetically from A to Z, we've started in January again. And I just felt like in that process, I just felt like the Lord really speak to me to recenter what my you know, my life is all about living for the audience of one. It's to make my dad smile. It's not these measurements, you know, that we can get caught up with. And, you know, we live in a culture these days, and, you know, whether it's the media or the internet, it's just like we get so much, we can compare ourselves with so many people, and we can measure ourselves by likes and, you know, and shares and or even affirmation in work or school or church or whatever, and we get this idea where we're looking horizontally for these affirmations. And I just believe that, I don't know, maybe it's just for me, but I feel like the Father is just wanting to just draw me back, come to the simplicity of heart, that it's me and him. It's just me and my dad. It's my brother Jesus. It's me and the three, as I've heard said before, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's not like, you know, you're isolating or building walls around yourself, but understanding what this life is about is to remain in love, to keep in love, to make my dad smile, and just to be a son to him. And to be able to be free from any of the horizontal measurements that cause us to please people, get into traps where we're trying to make people happy or trying to be enough, you know. I think, you know, a few weeks ago I shared a message about just like being free from comparing ourselves to other people and trying to live up to other people's expectations, and to be able to live in that place again, where it's really the baptism of Jesus, where he comes out of the waters of baptism, and the heavens, the Bible says, the heavens tore open, and the Father says, "You're my son whom I love," or "This is my son whom I love, in him I'm well pleased." And it was like we were able to see this beautiful moment within the Trinity, the Father speaking from heaven, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove on Jesus, and Jesus looking towards heaven as he rose from the waters of baptism. And it's just like, it's just this beautiful place of simplicity that I truly believe that the Father, certainly for me, I believe he wants me to come back, that this is just about me and my dad. This isn't about the, you know, me and even, you know, the nations even. It's just about me and my dad, and how do I live a life to make him smile. You see, because of my tendency with my background and being, in a sense, a performance junkie, and, you know, it is so easy for me to forget that that's what this life is all about. And when we begin to look at that, the life of Jesus, that was what his life was about. You know, I love in John 5:19-20, Jesus said, "Verily I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater things than these, that you will be amazed." And I really believe, you know, that this is a beautiful verse where how Jesus lived his life. Because if we know from the horizontal, you know, there was people who were pulling on him all the time. They wanted to be healed. They wanted food. They had all these things. They wanted him to be a revolutionary leader. And there was this horizontal pulling on him. But in this beautiful passage of scripture, we read that it's about him and his dad. It's just like, you know, the Son can do nothing of himself. I only do what I see my dad doing. And the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. He's part of the family business. And, you know, this is a revelation that God has spoken to me many, many times over the years. But I feel like even now, you know, all these years later, I felt like the Father say, "Oh, son, just make it about you and me, about just the little boy who found home. You know, don't be complicated. Don't try to make everybody happy. Don't try to measure your value by even, you know, anybody's affirmation, you know." And of course we love affirmation, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but to be able to, and I feel in my own heart that God is, I'm, once again, and I say it's a continuum, but I feel like I'm in a pruning process where the Father is pruning my heart to be at a place and say, "Oh, Father, all the horizontal measurements," you know. And I'm a numbers guy. Anybody who knows me, I love I don't mean accountant like Mark. I'm talking about, you know, like strategy and measurements and all those things. I've always loved that. I was in the newspaper business. business. And, you know, in my last job, I was the director of advertising, and, you know, we had seven departments working for me, and I had reporting sales statistics on every one of those departments every day and 305 publishing days a year. So, like, this idea of always measuring, always evaluating, always figuring out things has been things that I, you know, have been, you know, part of my journey. And so when the father just, like, I just felt his amazing joy about saying, oh, son, would you just declare my love for the nations? Would you, like, I just love that. I love that you would want to do that. And then, so it's amazing now, you know, I, you know, when we post it on the internet, and, you know, of course people can subscribe if they want, but it's like I'm just doing it for my dad. It's just me and him. And, you know, if it makes him smile, then that's the most important thing. And I think of John 8, verse 29, and Jesus said this. He said, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And that's the New Living Translation. And then the Passion Translation says, I am his messenger, and he is always with me, for I only do that which delights his heart. And I've never read the Aramaic, it's the Aramaic Bible in plain English. I've never read it before, but I absolutely loved how John 8:29 is translated in this translation. It says, and he who has sent me is with me, and my Father has not left me alone, because I am doing always what is beautiful to him. And I just want to sit there for a second. But Jesus, what he said, I'm always doing what's beautiful to him. And it's such a beautiful, to me, a beautiful picture of how the Father wants you and I to live. That, you know, we don't get caught up in the expectations of other people. We don't get caught up in expectations we put on ourselves. We don't get caught up in the internet culture of the day, the flavor of the month, the pressure to do this, to do that. You know, like I've said before, you know, a friend of mine, Peter Jackson, said that whether, you know, to be able to come to a place where whether we're raising the dead or having a nap, we are loved by God just the same. When we are able to be able to get to that place in our hearts where we're loved because we're loved, and it's about us and our Father, I just think it will has the capacity, the capability of bringing freedom to us. And that, you know, it's, you know, the horizontal measurements can be so exhausting. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who struggles with that. But I really believe that the Father wants to bring freedom. And if that's you tonight, and I just say, just ask the Father, you know, what are the things in my life that are distracting me, that are wearing me out, where I've put pressure on myself to try to jump through hoops, try to make people happy. You know, maybe you've struggled with people pleasing, and maybe the Father wants to say, oh, I just want to set you free from that. I love what Paul the Apostle said in Galatians 1:10. He said, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And, you know, this idea of people pleasing, I think, can be so really deceptive almost, you know, because it almost sounds like it could be a Christian value, right? Live for other people, make everybody happy, you know, be selfless in the way you live your life. And of course, you know, love does not take account of its own. It's always being others focused, but love is not trying to please people. Love is not trying to, you know, win the approval of men. And I just believe that that for me, you know, I want increasing freedom in this area where, and again, it's like you come around the mountain, right? I've been around this mountain many times in the years that I've been walking this revelation, and I feel like I'm coming around there again, and just being able to say, it doesn't matter how many people are viewing your videos or how many people are visiting your websites, how many people come to your meetings, how many people, you know, affirm you or not, don't affirm you, that just to be able to live for the audience of one, like Jesus said, that I always do what pleases you. And I just believe that in doing that, you know, we may go to the nations and we may transform people's lives, but it's not, but in our own being, in the internal sense of who we are, I believe that the Father wants to bring rest to us. You know, I just think of John 4:34, Jesus said, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. And John 6:38 says, for I've come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. I believe that there's a place in our relationship with the Father where we get so in union with his delight in us that we delight in him and we delight to do his will. And that's what Psalm 48:8 says, that I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written upon my heart. And I really think that one of the things that, and I say this to, especially to young people, when I teach schools of ministry where they're trying to manage life, they're trying to figure out their life, they're trying to get God's plan for the next 20, 30 years of their life, and they're afraid to make mistakes. And, you know, oftentimes when I pray for these young people, I just say, well, what do you like to do? You know, what brings you joy? What brings you pleasure? And chances are, and I'm not talking about carnal desires, I'm talking about the desires of your heart. You know, and I think chances are, if you feel that way, whatever you love to do, that it's probably God giving you the desire to do that, because he made you to be yourself. And I think that's where Philippians 2:13-14, and this is the Passion Translation. It says, my beloved ones, just like you've always listened to everything I've taught you in the past, I'm asking you now to keep following my instructions as though I was right there with you. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy of God, which brings you trembling into his presence. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. See, I truly believe that, you know, for me, it can get very, very tiring to be able to live in the roller coaster of human approval. Because, you know, human approval is fickle. It changes. You know, it can be dependent upon our performance, depending upon whether we please the person. But I just want to, you know, encourage you today, and I'm speaking to myself as well, that the approval that comes from the Father, the everlasting love that God has for us never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He believes in us. He has given us a new heart. He's given us the desires in our heart so that we would be able to be a manifestation of every good work that he set before us from before the creation of the world. I think one of the things that I just feel like I want to maybe pray for is for anybody who maybe feels, you know, they don't know what that means to experience the joy. You know, Jesus in Hebrews 12:2, it talks about us fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. And I really believe that there is a joy that the Father wants you and I to come into, an intimate personal joy of him being our dad that it's very personal, and it's not... He wants to prune all of that horizontal measurement, evaluating things that cause us to feel like we're on shifting sand, so that we would be able to know that we're loved, that we're loved, that we're loved. And that joy that was set before Jesus was the joy of his Father. You know, that the joy of bringing many sons and daughters to glory, and it caused Jesus to endure the cross, despising its shame. And I just feel like in that moment, that encounter I had just recently, where I just felt the Father's joy, I thought, oh, Father, in essence, I feel, because our life has been so much over the last, you know, 23 years with the internet ministry. It's been so public, and it's been so, so measurable in the sense of all of the statistics, that I feel that I'm in a place once again, just as a son, where I'm just, the Father's just bringing me close to his breast and say, "Oh, son, I just love you. I love you because you breathe. I just want you to rest here, and I want you to know how much joy you bring to my heart." And then for me to realize that, you know, my life isn't about trying to, you know, spin all the plates, you know, and make everybody happy and try to, but just to be a little boy who found home and to stay there. So if that is something in your heart that if you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you feel like even the media culture of the internet and the social media and all those things have exhausted you, maybe it's in demands from church or from your work or from your family or pressures you put on yourself that you need to do these things. I remember a friend came to me one time and he had a dream. And in the dream, he was going around the United States with a measuring tape, and he was measuring the distance with every state. And he got to the last state, and he was going to measure it. And then God spoke to him and said, "You're measuring horizontally. I only measure vertically." And it was like when he shared that dream with me, it was like the Father was saying to me, "Oh, Barry, just stop all of those measurements that you try to evaluate and try to quantify your value and your measurements, and just know that my heart is for you just to commune with me. And I measure vertically." And in that place, you know, I, at the time, I felt there was that kind of more of a returning back to the audience one. And here I am many years later and I'm still talking about the audience of one. So I think I'll just pray, and then Mark, if you could come on after I'm just finished praying and just have your thoughts. But Father, I just pray if there's anybody who's listening to the broadcast that struggles with exhaustion, with fear of man, struggles with pleasing people, struggles with comparing themselves with other people, struggles with feeling like they're not good enough, they're a disappointment to you. All those things, Father, I pray that your love would come, that your love, your reassuring love would come, that we would just get a glimpse of the immeasurable joy that you have for us, and that our lives make you smile. And so I just pray, Father, that there would be just a freedom that would come to every one of your sons and daughters, that they would know that you love them just because they breathe, not because they've done anything to earn or deserve it. Father, I just pray that there would just be a returning to the audience of one, and just like it's me and my dad, it's my brother Jesus, and I are one, and we live a life unto God by the Spirit, and that's life, and that's simple, and then learning to return to even the simple desires of our hearts and live from that place and not from expectations. Father, anybody who struggles with pleasing people, trying to make people happy, trying to jump through hoops, I just pray for just a pruning of the heart so that we would not be a pleaser of man, but we'd be a pleaser of God, that we wouldn't live for the approval of man, but we would live for that approval that comes from heaven that says, "This is my son whom I love. This is my daughter whom I love. In them I am well pleased." Thank you, Father, that you're so full of joy. You sing songs of joy over us. You smile over us. You delight over us. You love us with a love that will never fail. I just pray, Father, even in this very moment, that each and every one of us would awaken to your nearness and your abiding love and your surrounding affection, even in this very moment. Thank you, Jesus, my brother, my Savior, my Lord, my King, for making all this possible and being the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for indwelling me, indwelling us, being that we are your temple, and that you are the one that bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus. We just want to, just keep the main thing, Father. And all God's people around the world said, Amen. So, Mark, I'm just going to ask for you to sort me out.
No, thank you, Barry. That's amazing. You know, the last over the last couple of days, I've done these webcasts. I did one on Sunday for Switzerland and one last night for Poland. But I basically did the same talk, except had different translators, you know, different languages. But the thing I was really talking about was the father's affirmation.
Mm.
And how I see, you know, one of, you guys know Jeremiah 3:19. I talk about Jeremiah 3:19 a lot, but I've really just come to see that again recently as the father's affirmation. This is what he wants to affirm in us. How gladly would I treat you as sons? You know, how gladly would I give you a pleasant land? How gladly would I give you a good inheritance? And it's like the father wants to affirm our identity, our sense of belonging, and our inheritance.
Yeah.
Simply because we come to him and call him father, dad, you know. And of course, in Jeremiah, the people didn't get it because their hearts had turned away from God.
Mm.
And he said, this is what I long to do. This is the desire of my heart, to affirm your identity, to affirm your place of belonging, the place to call home.
Mm.
And of course, we see that. We see that expressed again in Jesus's baptism, where, as Barry said, the heavens opened and the Father says, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And in those three statements, the Father affirms Jesus' identity as a son. He affirms his affection for the son.
Yeah.
And he affirms his pleasure for the son. And I really, you know, one of the things I've just shared in the last couple of days is that that's what the Father wants to do for us.
Yeah.
Is just simply to affirm his love for us and to affirm our identity as sons and daughters and his pleasure for us. You see, straight after that baptism, Jesus went into the wilderness and was tempted by Satan. And Satan challenged him on the core of that affirmation. You know, if you're really the Son of God, then prove it. And Jesus said, I don't have to prove it. I know who I am. And, you know, Jesus needed that affirmation before that wilderness experience. And I get, you know, sometimes we go through a wilderness experience, don't we? Things are tough, things are challenging, and sometimes we lose perspective, we lose a sense of who we really are. And just as Jesus needed to have that affirmation before he went into the wilderness, so we need to have that affirmation spoken to us. And that affirmation is not dependent on what we've done or who we are or position or power or riches or wealth or anything like that. That affirmation is simply dependent on, you are my son. You are my daughter, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. You know, that's what Mark's gospel says. Matthew's gospel says, this is my son. And, you know, what's in a word? You know, in Matthew's gospel, it's a declaration. Jesus is announcing to the world, this is my son. And in Mark and Luke's gospel, Jesus, the Father speaks personally to Jesus and says, you are my son. And, you know, as I think about that, there are times the Father shows us off to the world.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, everybody, look, this is my son. This is my daughter, you know. And that's fine. You know, that's great. But there are other times when that affirmation is deeply personal. You know, you are my son. You know, that was a personal conversation between the Father and the Son that other people just happened to hear.
Yeah.
You know, you are my son. And I just believe, you know, as Barry's been sharing this evening, this is what we need to hear in our hearts. You are my son. You are my daughter.
Yeah.
I love you. I'm well pleased. And whatever we wake up to tomorrow morning, we can carry that affirmation into that day because that is the word of life for our hearts.
Yeah.
So Barry, that's just really simply all I wanted to just, that's me tuppence worth today.
Well, that was it's a very good me tuppence worth, that's for sure. So, well, why don't we both pray? I can put the music on and maybe we can just, I don't know. I suspect that maybe I'm not the only one that has performance issues or people-pleasing issues on planet Earth, eh?
And just, I think you are, Barry.
Yeah, but I just thought the Father would just, just maybe spend some time, and lead us in prayer, my brother, and just that, yeah, I just think you think of what you just said with the baptism, and it just, we all need to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, may we just hear that small voice from heaven. Individually, personally. With our name attached to it. Mark, you are my son. Barry, you are my son. Whatever your name is, you're a son, you're a daughter, you're the Father's son, you're the Father's daughter, you're chosen. You belong to Him. And Father, we would hear that affirmation from the throne room of heaven today. You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. With you, I'm well pleased. Father, may those words ring in our hearts today. That, Father, you would affirm our identity. You would affirm our belonging. You would affirm to each one of us that we have a place that we can call home.
Yeah.
And we have an inheritance in you, sons and daughters. The Father, in our hearts, we would know that as a son, as a daughter, we belong to the family forever. Jesus said a slave doesn't have a permanent place, but a son belongs to the family forever. And we thank you, Father, that we are sons and heirs according to the promise to Abraham. And may that be the thing we hear in our hearts today.
Yeah.
So often we listen to all those other voices. You know, we listen to the voice of that questions our self-worth, that questions our identity, that questions our value. We listen to the voice that says we've been awake for 12 hours and accomplished nothing. We listen to the voice of striving and performance and realize we've never hit the mark. And so, Father, today we just want all those voices that go off in our head to be stilled and shut up. And instead of listening to those voices, Father, we want to listen to the voice that calls us home.
Yeah.
And that says, my son, my daughter, you belong. You have a place here. We have value to you, not because of what we've done, but because of who we are. And so, Father, I just ask that you would open the floodgates of heaven today.
Yeah.
And you would rain into our hearts a supernatural torrent of your love that brings our hearts home to belong to you. Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thanks, mate. So good, huh?
It is good.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us as always. It's a delight. We'll be back here again, Lord willing, next week.
Same time.
Same
time.
Place. Yeah, so have a wonderful week, and we'll see you hopefully next week.
See you soon. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.